Welcome to the Focus on Christ podcast.
I'm Jack.
And I'm John.
And we're on a mission
to help you focus on Christ. So, Jack, we just have too much fun.
I know. I mean, when you have good friends, there's just nothing like that. We had a sermon Sunday from Jeff Fall about Barnabas, and a lot of what he was talking about was he was just a good friend.
Mm-hmm.
And it was real touching at the end of his message because he just talked about one of the failures of Barnabas, but still he was a good friend.
And, well, what was the failure? Was he talking about?
Peter kind of.
With John
was
Mark?
A little, yeah. Peter was a little, well, and the circumcision thing where
okay.
they kind of got back into the law just a little bit. And
mm-hmm.
these group of Jews came and influenced Peter. And I guess the Jews and Peter influenced Barnabas to be a little bit of a hypocritic thing where, well, you have to be circumcised in order to be a Christian. Anyway, I didn't mean to get into all that, but that's kind of the backstory of Barnabas just kind of. But here's the thing, since we're on it, because I think this is an important thing. I even was talking to my daughter about this morning, and she said, wow, that was really good. And I said, well, you know, it's the thought of how can we be a really good friend
mm-hmm.
to someone? You know, how can we kind of overlook and be there for someone, you know, even in the end without looking at someone who maybe fails toward the end of life or, you know, makes a mistake or moves away or slides sideways or slips or backslides or whatever you want to call it, is to remain the good friend of that person, which we got into a little bit last time
mm-hmm.
when we were talking about it doesn't mean that you accept mm-hmm. everything that people do. Sometimes you have to be the person that comes in and kind of exhorts, you know, a friend. You shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't go that direction, you know. And anyway, the other thing a good friend does is when someone says something evil about a friend that you know, a lot of times I would say, well, I don't believe you because he's a really good friend and I've seen a lot of years of faithfulness in his life. So why don't you and I go talk to him about this and get that straightened out. But anyway, neither here nor there. That was just a good message about what is a good friend. And a lot of it's about supporting, being willing to take second chair
mm-hmm.
and being there to hold them up, hand of compassion, of love, those kinds of things.
Speaking of the being a good friend, you know, we may not have had the ministry of Paul without Barnabas.
Mm-hmm. And Silas. Yeah.
Right. Because Paul, as you remember, when he first became a Christian, he was still feared and considered an enemy of believers, and they were afraid of him, and he needed some encouragement. And Barnabas is the son of encouragement. That's
you can imagine the personality of Paul, I'm thinking, was pretty A. You know, he was an A personality,
type A.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so take that enthusiasm and all that type A personality when he was going against Christianity and persecuting Christians. Now put it on the total other end of it. Now he's so excited that he's, you know, red in the face and you know, he's talking really loud and he's really excited he's like this. And that's like, hey, man, like, what? I don't get this.
Mm-hmm.
But so sometimes you just have to back her down a little bit and be a yeah. little bit calmer.
Right. So, well, today we were going to talk about what it means to be holy. And why?
And what are the motives?
Right. And
why?
Yeah, why should we be holy? So, Jack, I'm going to let you dig right in.
Okay. Well, one of the things that you have to understand the Bible says is it says to be holy as you have been made holy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important to start with that. We have been made holy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we were dead in our transgressions and sins, at just the right time, Christ forgave us of all of our sin. And so that dead means you can't do anything, that this is what God did for you. He made you holy. What happens You know, when we're justified, is we are given, or the righteousness of Christ is imputed into us. So that holiness is given to us. So what that passage says is, so since you've been made holy, now be holy. Live a holy life. It doesn't make any sense that Christ would make you holy and then you would continue in the same sinful lifestyle that you had before you came to Christ. That doesn't work. You know, because of the love and grace of Christ, that is a motivation. It behooves me now to honor and bless Him by being obedient and loving and living that holy lifestyle. So that motivation is to walk in the life that we've been given. You know, the old is gone, the new has come. To walk in a newness of life, that's the motivation. You have a new life, now walk in that life. In other words, live in that kind of a lifestyle, a holy life. So that's kind of the beginning of it.
Right.
So would you add something to that, sir?
Well, to me, being holy, it's sort of like, if you think about it from the standpoint of the temple, you know, in the temple, you had all of these things that were considered holy, right? But what was the difference between a golden goblet in the temple and a golden goblet in the king's palace?
I guess that it was just set apart or set aside for a holy purpose.
Right. It was what it's used for.
Yeah.
It's what it's purposed for. And I think that's the real difference. It's not that, because I'm saying it because I think sometimes people get the idea that, okay, I can't do that, or that's too difficult, or I can't make myself holy. You don't make yourself holy. God makes you holy because Jesus has purified you and cleansed you and made you holy. Okay, for example, most people know a little bit of the story of Hanukkah, right? Because the idea was that they had the Hanukkah. Some people call it the menorah, but this was
the candlestick.
Yeah, they had, well, actually, it would have been just the menorah at that point. But the Hanukkah is a different light because it's got one to represent all of those days of Hanukkah, right? Well, what happened is when they were rededicating the temple, they didn't have enough consecrated oil. In other words, they didn't have enough oil that had been made holy. Now, what? It was all oil. What made it holy? Well, they had to go through the process of sanctifying that, of setting it apart and making it holy. And so what did God do? Well, He took that little bit of oil that they had, which was enough for one night, and He let it burn for all of those nights. And that's what He can do with you. You know, we may not feel like we're anything special, but we are, because He made us. He chose us. He set us apart. And He is what makes us holy. So now, instead of being used for some ignoble purpose, we're a part of God's temple. And so we need to be devoted to His purpose, which all of those things in the temple were devoted to serving God and being there for Him and for the priests and for worship.
So, yeah, that's awesome. I don't know if this fits, and this may be a laugher. But it's going to be interesting. But I hate to admit this, but my son turned 50 on Friday. And so my daughter and I and a very special young lady in his life decided we needed to do something for 50 because 50 is a big one, you know. And the main thing is you want to make the person that's turning 50 feel special, feel set apart. And so my wife jumped in. We got this cake and a big old cake. And we got to the part where we're going to sing happy birthday and cut the cake. And he said, where are the candles? Well, nobody remembered to put any candles on there. Now, you think that's not important for a 50-year-old, but it kind of is. It's like, gee, you know, it'd be a little more special if there were candles on there. I said, well, if you put that many candles on there, you'd need a fire extinguisher next to it. Well, he said, well, you could get the 50. So you could tell when he's getting into the conversation. And so my daughter's looking everywhere. I said, well, go get a sparkler. Maybe we can do a sparkler. And so she couldn't find the sparkler. So finally she came up with this glittery candle about that big around, about that tall, and stuck it in the middle of the cake and lit this one ugly decorative candle in the middle. And you never saw such a big smile on my son's face. He blew out the candle and then we threw the candle away.
Oh my.
But what's the point? The point is to set someone apart and to denote that by this light, these candles that, you know, they represent the years of a person's life, and to realize that you're special, you're loved, you're set apart from everyone else in the world. You're special. And I think that that's kind of what happens when we put on this concept of being special to God and living the life that God has called us to. And that's what the Colossians 3:12 says, but put on then, look, as God's chosen ones, you're chosen, holy and dearly loved, holy and dearly loved, our beloved, put on what? Compassionate hearts, kindness. Just be kind, you know, to whoever, to whatever. Humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if somebody has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just like the Lord forgave you, you must also forgive. What does it do? It's so that we might, above all, put on love, which binds everything together. So that's the holy life. That's the what we do. What causes God to choose us? What causes God to set us apart? What causes God to love us? And that's dearly love. That's a marriage type love. That's a bond that God gives us to make us one with Him. What is behind that? Sin breaks the Father's heart, so He's waiting and willing and ready to forgive us so that the relationship can be once again bound together. So for Christ's sake, He died on a cross. He sacrificed His life. If you don't live this set-apart kind of life, then what are you doing to His death, to His sacrifice on the cross? You're acting and you're living as if it means nothing to you. And you have to think of it in that way because it means something to us. So we have a responsibility. And the responsibility isn't like it's hard. He didn't say, here's your seven, you know, like Hercules in the old myth, here's the seven tests that you have to go through, impossible tests. He didn't say that. He said things like, have compassion, have kindness, have humility, have gentleness, be patient, forbear with each other and forgive each other, and most of all, bind it all together by loving each other. And that's the holy life. That's how we live that. Listen with your heart, you know?
I don't think that those things necessarily come easy, and I don't think that they really get easier with time. Unless you keep that focus on Jesus, because if you're looking at other people and you're seeing the stuff they're doing, or you're hearing or feeling their attitudes, that's going to make it tough. But if I'm focusing on what Christ did for me and what He saw in me when I can't see that, you know, Jack asked the question, what makes you special that God would choose you? I don't have an answer.
Nothing.
I mean, yeah, it's like, I probably wouldn't choose me, you know? but I'm glad He did, you know? And I'm glad that it's His will. I mean, this is part of the reason why God is so patient and so merciful is, you know, Peter says it's His wish, His will that none would perish, but that all would come to repentance. In other words, all would change the way that they think and recognize that, you know, God is choosing you.
This morning, I met my daughter, mm-hmm. my wife, for coffee at a little coffee shop that we like a lot. And one of the tables, lady came over and asked if she could borrow the empty chair at our table because they had a lot of people at their table. And I looked over, and there was one individual that was a little loud, and I looked at him, and you know what that was. It was a whole table of very special people.
Oh, okay.
Very, very yeah. special people. And what happened was this lovely old fella walked by, and, you know, he's walking in a very special way, and he kind of looks over, and he goes,
goofy smile.
Just a goofy smile. And my daughter just smiled, the huge smile, and shook her head at him and waved at him. And then another gentleman walked by, and she reached over. And there's just a feeling of love and compassion. And even though they were being a little loud and a little obtrusive to what we were doing, when you realized what was going on, it wasn't obtrusive at all. It was a privilege to be able to be at the table next to them and hear them laugh and bring a little joy into this world. And I think that's what God does for us. God brings us when we put on Christ. The Bible says to when you're back, I think it's Galatians 3:17. All those who are baptized in Christ have put on Christ mm-hmm. or been clothed with Christ. That's the phrase. Clothed with Christ. Well, that's what this is. Put on then compassion. How do you do that? Well, you've put on Christ. Is that through Galatians 3:27?
I wasn't trying to
check
know, correct
me
you or anything.
It's in there. It's been a long time. It's been a long time.
It's not that verse though.
No, but it may not even be Galatians. Colossians.
I really didn't mean to throw you off.
Now you messed up the whole thing.
I'm sorry I messed up the whole thing.
So I quoted it. I quoted it. All those who have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ or been clothed with Christ. One or the other. There you go. So look it up in your concordance.
It's in the Bible.
That's like forgetting whatever. You just forget the phrase.
It's all good.
Yeah, it's all good.
That's all good.
So. Yeah. And then the last thing that it gives you when you look at that passage, which is beautiful, it says, and above all those things, put on love, which binds everything together in harmony. Love binds everything together in harmony. there's nothing that is more of a pet peeve to me. And you hear this sometimes when you're doing YouTube or whatever, and you're listening to people singing praise song or whatever, and they got the harmony all messed up. It's like, and it becomes a dissonance. Well, you should have worked that harmony out before you, because when it's not harmony, it's not melding together in harmony, then there's going to be a dissonance. It's just not going to be as effective. And that's what we are. We're not as effective as we need to be as the body of Christ, because being one, there's not just a whole lot of harmony and love that's binding this whole thing together. And I think that's an interesting thing. And then it says, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. I think that's an interesting word, to let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and then be thankful. Be thankful. So there's the holiness of God. And so what you have to do is you have to let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. You got to let that happen. If you're doing your will, and if you're letting people or negativity or whatever you don't like rule in your hearts, then you're not going to hear the harmony. And the love's not going to bind you together the way it should. The way it should. So, that's pretty good.
Jack, you've heard me talk about how I will read a verse and then back up.
Yeah.
To kind of get context and study it a little bit. And I think that this is a perfect example of where that really fits, because a lot of the writing in our Bible, it starts out with a particular verse, and then it sort of takes that and closes the loop.
Right.
So the first verse of that chapter.
Right.
Since then you've been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth, for you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory.
There you go. Now, period.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. I'm looking forward to that.
Absolutely.
So, well, guys, I encourage you to be holy, to live in holiness, and to understand that that doesn't come from us. That comes from Jesus.
Amen. And the problem is, if you don't do that, then you lack inner peace.
Mm-hmm.
And you just can't smile and be joyful when you think about the end of this world and the coming of the next.
Yeah.
Which is what you were saying. Set your mind on things above, not on this earth. Good stuff, John.
Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you next time.